This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasuthi. There was a recent article in the BBC that, you know, experts are warning young people who receive Botox treatment, it may actually have adverse reaction on their emotional growth. And this show today is based on that article. We're going to be discussing Botox and, you know, I suppose aesthetic medicine and the sort of effect it has on young people and, you know, you and I and how far it will take us. In the studio with us, of course, back on a Friday, Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist.
Absolutely.
How are you, Dr. George?
I'm fabulously happy and, you know, excited because these are sort of things that might be applicable for myself later on.
Right. You need to lose weight first.
Start there. Well, actually, that's a problem. You see, once you lose weight, your skin becomes a bit flabby and then you probably just need a bit of tightening, right?
So that's where...
Isn't this an amazing article? Don't you think it's quite an amazing article?
Let me introduce the aesthetic physician first, Dr. Lim Ting Song. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Thank you, George.
It's a fantastic day that Dr. Lim is here and we don't have rain today.
I know, right?
That's right.
Don't
okay.
speak
and the
too
traffic
soon.
Is not too bad also outside. You should come here more often, Dr. Okay. Lim.
It's Halloween.
Is that right?
It is Halloween. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, George, the article, what made you think? I mean, for young people, I didn't realize in the UK so many young people below the age of 25 are actually thinking or actually go through Botox.
I know.
What are they injecting into?
Well, obviously, we got Dr. Lim here to tell us more about it. But when I read this article, I was fascinated. I was fascinated in many, many facets. And in number one is that I felt that something like this, actually aesthetics itself, is something that is hugely advancing without really us talking about it. Because, you know, we all talk about plastic fantastic culture in Korea and things like that. But, you know, people want it, but they don't really know much about it, you know, and that sort of thing. And also that imposed certain degree of ethical issues, you know. So whenever we start talking about young people having it done, we start talking about men having it done, what sort of age group, who decides what's right, what's wrong. I really think that is real fascination to get opinion in Klang Valley.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Give us a call. Where do you draw the line as far as aesthetic medicine is concerned? Our phone lines are open, 03-77-109-000. You can tweet to BFM Radio or text to 016-201-9000. Dr. Lim, you know, growing trend of under 25 seeking wrinkle smoothing injections. I mean, what is that? I mean, do you see that trend in Malaysia as well?
Well, it's a growing trend right now. I think a lot of people are looking to be to look younger, and because of a lot of there's a lot of Korean influence as well. So a lot of people.
How true is that? How much truth is that? The Korean influence.
Man, those Koreans. Yeah.
They're just too perfect, right? Okay. I think it's just this quest to be perfection.
But, you know, I don't know. Okay, carry on. I'm very much against what you do, actually.
All right, okay. So you know more or less what sort of pace this show is going to go.
So, basically, a lot of people look at aesthetic medicine or plastic surgery as something that they want to change a face or just sort of do something drastic about it. But actually, aesthetic medicine itself is more on preserving youth. You try to actually slow down the signs of aging. At the same time, you do something to help treat the skin as well as the facial features and body features to make yourself feel good about it. So a lot of people approach aesthetic physicians mainly because they have some complex, something they are not so happy about themselves. And it can be a nose bridge, it can be some dark eye circles, it can be some patches, dark patches on the skin, it can be acne scars, very active acne, it can be just body shape. So everybody has a little bit of complex.
But then this is more a psychological problem, which needs to be fixed by a psychologist.
It is not. Because basically everybody has it. You can be as young as 13 years old.
I'm very happy.
It depends on what day you catch me. Some days, you know, I am really, really happy with my imperfection. Some day, all the imperfection will shout out and actually tells me that you need to get that fixed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I'm fascinated by this sort of like, in a way, aesthetic medicine, it's on one hand, helping to boost the confidence on the others. On the other hand, actually cashing in on somebody's defections. What do you think? You know, or deformities to some degree.
He's trying to say that you're trying to. What are you implying?
That's the whole idea.
It's how you look at it. A lot of people might see aesthetic medicine as a money making business.
Yes, it is. It is a money making business.
Well, it is and it is not. Because a lot of times we look at aesthetic medicine as something, it's part of health. If you we see health itself, before time we think health is just itself is just free from illness. Then we think about emotional health. We talk about social health. We talk about mental health. We talk about like morale, and all this itself is part of health. A well-being itself is someone who can feel good about himself, and feel good about himself, and have build up the confidence with their outlook, the way they express themselves. So I think beauty itself, or the outlook itself, especially these days, plays a big part in a person's health.
Okay.
So you let's say if you a person go to apply for a job. Okay, so you have two candidates who probably like came up from Oxford. They're equally good, and a lot of times we actually do.
It's the first impression of how well they look, how they present themselves,
and that actually
but it radiates from
part.
The inside.
it's the inner beauty that you're looking for, Mira,
and it radiates outside.
Yes, but we look at the whole package. Right.
But if you have some sort of
that
like
is not
a
true.
Well, you know, obviously you need to go to get to know somebody,
right?
To know their inner beauty. However, whenever you have a very superficial time, a very short time in order to do that, you know, you can't deny that many people are actually basing on their first impression. And of course, somebody who actually have their slight defects all rectified, you radiate confidence.
No, that is not true.
What? That's what we get.
Sometimes
the public
you look
to
plastic.
No, well, that's why it's a fine line.
Yeah,
right?
And so where do you draw the line? You know, some people overdo it.
Yes.
And you know, then they don't look
normal anymore.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Because when we
so let's count to it comes down to his skills,
right?
To
right.
make sure
and
that
we know many people like that.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Overdone.
Yeah. So we don't want everyone to turn out to be Michael Jackson. Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, aesthetic medicine. I mean, beauty itself. When you look at it, natural is beauty, and beauty is natural. So when someone has they overdo something. Let's say they do Botox. When they put high doses of Botox, when they're over-putting Botox into their face, the face looks sort of unnatural.
Yeah, just hold that thought. Yeah. Hold that thought.
Right.
When I was reading about Botox itself, I mean, botulinum toxin, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's a pretty lethal chemical. It comes from a bacteria.
That's right.
And it is lethal.
Well, in fact, you know, the interesting. Go ahead.
It's not, because we don't really like to use the word toxin, although it's.
It is.
But the toxin is a toxin. But
call a spade a spade.
It's a protein used to. We use in minute doses.
It's a protein from a bacteria.
Yes, correct. So we use this protein to actually sort of stop certain neurotransmitters from coming out, to actually shut so-called shut down the connection between the nerves and the muscles, so our muscles won't move so much. So if you put the correct dose, just enough to sort of weaken the muscles, not to move as much, we can actually sort of prevent certain lines from forming, or sort of reduce the lines from forming. If you sort of put too much, and which certain, I'll say it's a Botox done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When you put too much, you sort of freeze the whole face.
That's when you have that plastic.
Yes,
look.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is.
Well, actually, you know, Mira is absolutely right that, you know, Botox itself is a bacteria that arises from bad meat.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, botulus actually in Latin means sausage. So this is a bad sausage toxin. That's right. All right. Okay. In 1973, that was the first time that it actually had been used in animal, because it actually blocked something called acetylcholine release. Acetylcholine will cause contraction, and contraction will cause wrinkle. And obviously that is being used in monkeys. monkeys. And then after that, it's being used in ophthalmology to deal with cross eyes. From there, it moved on to lower abdominal sphincters. And then only after that, in 1989, we're not really talking about too long ago, that we go to an era of cosmetic surgery. I mean, today, guess how many Botox injections is carried out in the United States?
I don't know.
63 million injections. Right, okay. And then this, it constitutes $2.9 billion
See, you're making a lot of money here.
No, well, the thing is that, I think someone like, Dr. Lim actually plays a very vital role, because in many countries, the different people can actually do the Botox. Like, for example, in UK, you can actually get it done by technicians. I really think in our country, in certain extent, majority of these are done by physicians. And I think early on when he described the way that, you know, he is a gatekeeper to decide, you know, who actually is emotionally compromised, like, you know, well-being, confidence compromised, that will require something. And then also he needs to play the role to actually draw the line to say, you can't have too much now because you are actually going and cross the line. And I really think that's an important role a doctor should play, and not down to kind of pharmacists or technicians.
In terms of approvals, I mean, the FDA hasn't quite approved a lot of types of Botox coming out. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So how do we, as the ordinary person, know that is, say I want to come, you know, and get Botox injections.
Right.
How do I know that the one that you're actually injecting into my face has been approved by the FDA?
So the FDA have a website where you can actually basically, even in their bottles or their so-called pamphlets, they will tell you what are indicated, what can be used. And unfortunately, the indications are quite limited. There are certain physicians who go for so-called off-label treatments, which certain types of Botox, or they use certain techniques to actually control or weaken certain muscles.
Which are not approved.
It's not approved by FDA, but it's widely practiced by
physicians. But to be fair, majority of the Botox that's being used is produced by this company called Allergan, right?
Allergan, okay. Yeah.
Well, Allergan, in the last 3 days, has been in the news because, Bill Ackman is actually trying to take over the Allergan company, this huge company that produces a lot of these aesthetic injections. Mm-hmm. They also produces another type of very popular medication in South Korea called Latis to make your eye lashes long.
Ooh.
And isn't that extraordinary? So they obviously are focused and key leaders in this industry. And, you know, majority of these are approved for the use of aesthetics, injections. So I must say that it probably in majority of the ones used in Malaysia are probably Allergan's, right?
We'll come back and find out how well regulated it is. But we have Robert Tan on the line. Robert, your question?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Robert.
Dr. George and Dr. Lima.
Yes.
I recently listened to a show on radio by a very well-known aesthetic LASIK surgeon.
All right.
She claimed that she can do a penis augmentation.
Okay.
And she's very, very, very well-known in tightening the vagina as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay.
Does it really work?
With Botox?
Procedure.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
With laser or LASIK.
All right.
Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's interesting.
Yes. Actually, this penile so-called enlargement or enhancement or like vagina tightening has been part of the research or experiments they've done. A lot of people use things like fillers, PRP to do it, but basically today we won't be touching so much of that.
Okay.
I think what we actually need to go back to what we brought up today is, what's the fine line between, like, at what age
Correct.
Should we do?
Right. So you know, there
medicine.
Are a growing trend of under 25s in the UK who are seeking wrinkle smoothing injections.
Mm.
So where do you draw the line? And the research suggests that it ends up with something called frozen faces, and it could stop young people from learning how to express emotions fully. So poker face, like you have no expression.
No, right.
We'll come back. We'll come back.
This is quite interesting, isn't it?
Yes. So where do you draw the line as far as aesthetic medicine is concerned? I mean, give us a call. We'd like, you know, your input, your comment, or if you want to share an experience with us, it's give us a call, 0377-109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In the studio with me, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist and aesthetic physician, Dr. Lim Ting Song. We're discussing Botox and aesthetic medicine in relation to an article where younger and younger people seem to be wanting Botox in the UK. We were just wondering whether this is a trend here in Malaysia. It's hard to tell, really, because, you know, we don't have official statistics. But does it really lead to frozen faces?
Well, like I say, frozen faces is because you use Botox wrongly. That means you overdose with Botox.
Right.
And I think for youngsters these days, I don't get a lot of people coming for Botox, but I do get a lot for fillers and lasers.
Mm. What's the difference?
What's the difference, yeah?
So Botox, like we mentioned earlier, it's a protein or a neurotoxin that we use to actually to weaken muscles. So we know facial expressions are through facial muscles. By weakening it, we can actually reduce certain facial expressions that with time can build lines, which is the wrinkles.
But you are only temporarily weakening those muscles.
Yes.
Okay.
And we do know that if you repeat Botox for a few times, the muscles goes into atrophy and you won't make the same expression as much anymore.
Oh.
So that means it in the long run, it does prevent certain lines from forming, especially the frown lines.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the angry lines. A lot of people, when they like to sort of frown a lot when they think, when
guilty
they talk.
Guilty as can be.
So with time, you have these really deep lines.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you work in a stressful place like BFM, then you develop
angry
lines.
I think I just naturally do it. I'm always reminded to stop.
Do you get more at home or more at work?
I can't tell. I'm not looking at myself, George. Someone needs to tell me.
Or you just inject with Botox and you won't be able to tell at all.
No way.
So we talk about fillers. Fillers are mainly the fillers that we use these days are pure hyaluronic acids. Those are things that is naturally in our inside our skin.
Mm-hmm.
That we put it back because with aging, we know a lot of volume loss is happening around the face, especially under the eyes for Asians. So when we have this volume losing around the eyes, there will be structures moving down.
Right, so sagging. So that's you want sagging, to prevent sagging by actually bulking it up.
Yes.
So fillers is bulking agent.
It is putting volume into areas that is losing.
Also so temporary?
No. Fillers, it depends what kind of fillers you use.
Permanent than Botox.
Yes. It lasts about 2-3 years, certain fillers, and certain fillers is about 6 months.
Oh, that's interesting. That takes this whole study into a different angle now, because initially, we're all coming up in arms and going, come on, Botox is a sausage toxin. Yeah. You're injecting into children. What are you doing to our kids? Yeah. And then so we came up with this. And your answer to this said, don't worry, because it won't stunt your emotional growth. You still have expression. It will just bulk up certain faces. Because
but I'm sure you can take into consideration many factors before young people think about going through aesthetic treatment.
So it'd be interesting to ask, you know, what is Klang Valley thinking about young people rectifying a little bit of slight defects or, you know, slight imperfection on your face.
Hi, Yong. How are you today?
Hi, Mira, Dr. George.
Good afternoon. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. So, what do I think of all this?
Yes, go ahead.
Vanity. Yes.
So, do you think that, is there, you know, across the board, vanity is not acceptable or just not acceptable in children? Where do we draw the line? Is there age that you actually, it's more kind of like acceptable that you can have vanity? Is vanity wrong?
Yeah, just now Mira says even under 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are not doing the right things. They sleep late. You know, they're not eating right.
So self-induced perfection.
Put themselves in a lot of stress.
Well, that's not always true. You know, some people might just be born with a little bit of gap around their bridge of the nose, and they say that, you know, that's a bit of something I don't like.
Cleft lip and all that.
Yeah.
I think that's acceptable.
That's medical.
The thing is, now that you have this program, I don't know whether it's coincidence. You know, the Joan River just recently
passed away.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I hate to see Meg Ryan. She was not good looking in Sleepless in Seattle. And what happened after that was, oh my God.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Did she have a lot of, did Meg Ryan have a lot of corrections?
Yeah, I mean, almost like what Joan River is looking like.
All right. Mm. So Joan Rivers is somebody, it's not, somebody, she looked good for 80-something, right?
Yeah, but then, you know, the green looked like the nemesis of Batman.
So okay. you reckon that at any age is not acceptable, particularly in younger age groups?
Yeah, it's one simple word, vanity.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Thank
Yong.
You, Yong.
Thank you. Thank you. Is it morally wrong for you, Dr. Lim, to inject teenagers with Botox or fillers or whatever?
Let's define teenager first. What age are you talking about, Mira?
Okay, we'll just, let's just say 21 and
21 below. Years old.
And below.
All right.
So I'm 21. I come to see you and said, you know, Dr. Lim, you know, don't really like a little bit of my acne scars. Right. Need a little bit of fillers. Sure. What are your response to that?
So basically anybody who comes for aesthetic physician or aesthetic medicine consultation, you first have to look at why do they come, and lots of time they don't just come in because they just suddenly wake up and say I want to go to see a physician, aesthetic physician. They probably think a lot about it, make a lot of trials, put some creams on them, try it out, didn't work, then they just made up night and it's just like come in to see an aesthetic physician.
So what you're saying is not an easy decision for them either?
Yes. So when they come in, we don't just say, like, if, let's say, they are in the age of 21. We just don't say, okay, you are not old enough to make decision. Let's just get out.
Is 21 old enough to make decisions,
well,
in your opinion?
It's hard to bring the fine line because age, we look at, is it a physical age or is it a mental age?
Chronological age? That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can have a 16-year-old female who's actually earning a living by selling wonton mee, feeding the brothers, paying their tuition fees for college.
Yeah.
And she just had this complex where she has this dark spot on the face.
And who is there to judge? She's spending her own money.
Yeah, she wants to fix it. And comparing to probably a 35-year-old who's living in a house with their parents, the mom's doing the laundries, and he just wants a nose job done just because he wants to piss off the mom because they didn't buy him a Ferrari or something. We have to go into why do they want it fixed, and we have to go into the deeper root to see will this actually help them, and what is the implication? Do they understand after doing this what kind of so-called results they will get? And what kind of risk they will be facing.
Correct. That's what I want to know next. Right. But just before that, we have a question from Jess Puven, who's asking. He says, besides Botox, he's heard of people who take up to 15,000 milligrams of vitamin C via intravascular. Mm. What's the significance and is it safe?
Intravascular?
Mm.
Yes. Actually,
so
it's
in injections, right?
Seriously?
It's undercurrent. it's illegal, of course, to do such an injection. Most of the time, because this is not a controlled medication. They actually, a lot of people get this through certain routes, which we don't know where they get it from. And we don't really know what is in it. They might just label as vitamin C. There might be certain chemicals that can create some anaphylactic shock or something that causes a lot of damage to organs. And the efficacy of it, if you put such a high dose of vitamin C, we don't really know that. Is it that the amount is used at all, or most of it is actually being
absorbed,
excreted away? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much is being absorbed?
Well, and it's an interesting point because, you know, on one hand, if we actually put so much barrier on aesthetics and people are just driven underground, everything is unregulated. Or on the other hand, we might as well just kind of regulate it and accept that this is, you know, sign of the time that actually certain people will just not accept imperfection. And vanity is something that is it should be acceptable in a society.
So we look up to the Koreans, as you said, right? They have...
I like the way you say we.
I don't know much about the Koreans. I'll be honest.
At least you didn't say you look up to the Koreans.
I only know the Wonder Girls.
The Wonder Girls. So I don't even know who the Wonder Girls are. So how backwards I am with Korean pop culture.
But, you know, I'm sure they have aesthetic treatment as well. I mean, we'll never ever be happy with what we have.
Well, we don't know that, you know, so because that can only be justified by scientific scrutiny. Because at the end of the day, you know, are they in a society where it is morally wrong whenever it's widely accepted? There is an area in Gangnam that every other shops is actually an aesthetics or plastic surgery kind of like a, establishment. And, you know, when you look at it in the Korean as a nation, look at it as something acceptable. And then out of Korea, certain people may not look at it acceptable. So where do we draw the line? It's an interesting point.
Yeah. Dr. Lim, what are the consequences of starting aesthetic medicine or medical treatments too soon?
That's never too soon or never too late. But we always say prevention is better than cure. And lots of times, I actually would rather have people bring it up and talk about it instead of just keeping to themselves and do something like in beauty salons or just go to some underground treatments or they just go for plastic surgery
or go for vitamin C infusion.
Right.
So you'll be surprised a lot of people do that.
Yeah, well, and there's all these growth hormone injections and things like that. They're not really regulated.
Yeah. And a lot of time it's just the society itself try to suppress it. It's just like sex. A lot of times when I was working in the States, I deal with lots of young children. And I think in Asia, it's a taboo just to talk about anything outside a regular thing.
Of course.
But over there, what happened is we normally just, for kids as old as 13, 14 years old, we try to sit down and talk to them without their parents. So we just discuss their health condition and we just get their parents out. Mm-hmm. So we talk about things that they might want to bring it up. Like they might want to bring up things about tobacco use, that sex is a thing, relationships. This is to build a trust. We are not like promoting them, okay, just go and do it. But we sort of want to understand what are their thinkings. It's the same as their outlook. So what I think, like, even youngsters, if they come to talk to a doctor about how they feel about their look, we don't just shut them off. We want to talk to them, engage them. They might be too young, or maybe because we know that the facial features actually change with age. So they might not be suitable to do something yet.
Well, okay, yeah. At this point, I'm going to interject. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Mira, I'm going to ask you. Obviously, you have two lovely girls in their teenage years, right? Okay. You know, Dr. Lim is suggesting that occasionally he actually sees children in the States, independent of the parents. He's an aesthetic doctor, and then if your daughter is seeing an aesthetic doctor independent of you, how comfortable do you feel with that?
I wouldn't be comfortable.
At all? Mm. Okay. How comfortable are you with your presence and then them discussing their look?
I wouldn't do that. But what I've started doing is getting them to speak to the obstetrician gynecologist.
Right.
Just about their own bodies and that sort of thing. What about self-image?
And let her do the talking when I'm not there. Okay. So things come through from those conversations.
Okay. Yeah. So you feel more comfortable that like a GP dealings with that and then somebody. So, I mean, I think in your practice, if I understand it correctly, your GP with specialist interest in aesthetics and then, you know, you deal
it's
with
just
holistic.
Not holistic.
Yes. Yes, it's more of a one-stop center. Like I say, it's we put outlook and the emotional health and everything into one package. So we deal with them as a patient, as a person.
Yeah, so you deal with a family background, upbringing, because presumably a lot of these, you need a lot of continuity of care. Right. When you're in the community, you know them well, you know that aesthetic part is only a small part of the issues, and there are a bigger picture that you are in control. Is that the sort of practice you usually engage in?
Yes. Basically, I think a lot of times when they actually bring up this kind of issues, they have been thinking a lot about it. So instead of shutting them out, I think we need to engage. Not that we are suggesting them to do anything, but we sort of go with their flow and then just understand why they feel that way. And lots of times, it's just about so-called, they just have different sort of perspective about themselves. And sometimes we can just bring about and tell them, they just look beautiful.
Of course, but then they won't believe it. So then,
not
Wendy,
always.
How do you? Okay, so then, how do you make that decision to make them feel better?
Right.
And how do you go about you know, encouraging them to feel better about
to
themselves.
To accept themselves.
Correct, yes. Right? It's not a... You just can't say, go home, feel you're beautiful, right. Feel good about yourself.
Sure. That's not to Lim say so.
Well, of course, we do a lot of analysis on the face, telling them, like, because everybody's face is different.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that I pluck Angelina Jolie's lips into you, it will look beautiful.
Yes.
So basically, everybody has their own features, and we try to sort of optimize the features, and we try to bring about the features. So there are things that we can really talk to them about how certain people with time, certain features changes. Sometimes we just rather wait for the features to actually happen. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't happen later on, they still feel not comfortable with it, by all means, we can suggest things that will help.
Okay. Oh, so yeah. You're highlighting their beauty,
right.
And then also kind of like ask them to focus more on the beauty rather than focus on the
And also the fact that, you know, as you said, they change.
Yes.
You know, they're very young.
Of course.
Right.
So
yeah.
Then you don't really
That's
know
That's a good point,
right.
Because, right. You know, a 13-year-old young Mira doesn't look like a 30-year-old young Mira, right?
No, of course not. George, don't we all know that? Don't remind me. We'll come back and continue this discussion.
Absolutely.
On aesthetic medicine. If you have a question, please give us a call. The number is 0377109000. Where do we draw the line as far as aesthetic medicine is concerned, especially in relation to young people? You can text 0162019000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasuthi. In the studio with me, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, and Dr. Lim Ting Song, an aesthetic physician. We're discussing aesthetic medicine, actually,
yes.
In view of very young people have been reported to take on this wrinkle-smoothing injections in the UK, under 25s to be exact. And there's controversy that, you know, research now shows that this could restrict their emotional growth. Do you think it will? Dr. Lim?
Well, I think people who go for this Botox, they might already have problems with emotional growth to start off with.
Oh, that's a good point.
So basically, by freezing the face, that will be something that we do try not to do. So even if I want to do Botox, you don't want to freeze the face.
Mm-hmm.
You want to soften the lines.
So you know, on one hand, the answer to
how
BBC
do you soften the lines?
Use fillers, right?
I mean, like, even with Botox, you don't put a lot
too much of it,
so yeah. It doesn't freeze.
Well, okay. I mean, you know, you answer clearly very well that with. The alternative to Botox. And, you know, we're talking about laser, we're talking about, fillers. And what difference does it make anyway if a kid decided to go for all these face masks that we have available in the streets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, is there any evidence to suggest that some of the face masks and things like that, they're probably doing more harm to the kids than more good? Is there any evidence to suggest
not
that?
Not just face masks, but, you know,
the creams and that sort of
yes,
thing.
Yes, we do get people come in and their faces, the skin is in a mess. And when you ask them the things that they use, they have been buying things that is not cheap at all. It's like things that you know from the counter. It can cost thousands of ringgit.
Yeah. And that's something that we don't talk about, right? You know.
And yeah, it's not that how much you use, it's that it helps. Actually, it's how much that they use actually that caused the harm. And sometimes by doing a simple face wash and keeping it simple helps a lot with the skin. And a lot of people, they think that the more they use, the better it becomes. And sometimes they don't realize that by putting more, it doesn't mean that it's getting more effects.
But that is the fault of the marketeers.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, would you stop your kids from using a snail Korean face mask?
Yes.
You would, right?
Because I don't use anything.
At what age do you say, Mommy, can I use that? At what age would you allow
Well,
them?
I'll actually get proper advice before asking them to use these things.
From whom?
I don't.
I don't know.
I use the most basic face wash and that's
right,
it, right?
Yeah,
a lot of aesthetic physicians and dermatologists don't agree with that.
Yeah, the basic face wash.
They think you need a moisturizer. They think you need a toner, a cleanser.
Right. And I don't even understand half of those things mean.
I think it's a lot, but you're a man.
right.
A lot of people blame it on aesthetic physicians or plastic surgeons. But basically, a lot of doctors actually believe that things to use is as simple as possible. And most of the time, they get it from over-the-counter, mm-hmm. where they get advices from non-professionals. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problems comes in. Yep. Because when our part doesn't play as enough, they will go seek for others, and they will get some treatments that we have never heard of and come back with lots of damage to the skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. George, you know, I said something silly just now. I said something about you're a man. You probably don't. What would you know?
Right, okay.
But, you know, a lot of men now, I think, take a lot of care. They are right. Cleansing. They're moisturizing.
Yeah. Well, we want to ask Klang Valley how many of you cleanse and how many of you tone.
Yes.
Because, you know, actually, Mira asked me last night, said, why do you want to talk about this? What has it got to do with urology? Actually, there are two reasons why I want to talk about it. Number one, Botox actually is used in bladder. Right. Hopefully, we can talk a little bit about the science behind that. Right. And then also a array of things that it actually is used. Yes. Number two is that I want to find out, in your practice, are you seeing men having things like that done? Because I get patients asking me and say, is it normal that I want to actually look better? So it's like, is there an increasing trend to get men wanting to engage in aesthetic medicine?
Hold that thought. We have Nigel on the line. Nigel, how are you?
Afternoon, Nigel.
Hi, Mira.
Hi, you have a question.
Yeah, not actually a question. Somebody mentioned just now about vanity being the cause of...
All right, yes, okay. You all mentioned vanity.
Yeah, but no, it's not vanity. It's basically self-confidence and insecurity.
Insecurity and self-confidence, yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you look at Michael Jackson, he was extremely insecure. You look at John Rivers, I mean, why would that man do this? A lot of these superstars are very insecure in their beauty, and they realize, they think that it's their beauty which gives them, puts them where they are. You know, and with children nowadays, or youngsters, it's a competition, social standards because of what it's supposed to look like.
Yep.
And they don't have the self-confidence for that. And they're insecure, and therefore they're looking for...
So, Nigel, the medical rectification of that insecurity, justifiable or not?
But no, I think I do agree with what...
I mean, it's not fully justifiable, mainly because why? Even if you do the fix-up, you will still be insecure.
Yeah.
Not always, though.
Well, that's exactly what Dr. Lim is trying to say, that, you know, emotional...
You want more.
Yes, you have, you know, emotional... problems, emotional growth.
Because what he was saying, that the emotional growth is already stunted.
Correct.
In the first place.
Thanks very much for your call, Nigel.
So that would be more of a psychological problem, wouldn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mira.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great point, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Nigel just brought up a very great point about it. I think even all of us, if we think, we sort of look deep inside, every one of us, when we grow up, we have some insecurity, and part of it is our outlook. You might think something... Of course, everybody, you won't bring it out and talk to everybody about your look. But inside you, there are something that you might be, and I think...
I was hoping to take up my list now, actually, to show it to him, to see what can be fixed.
And that is not just limited to women. I think men themselves has lots of insecurity, or like they felt that... By having a more muscular beauty, body, they look more fit, they look more athlete. That helps, because when we talk about beauty, we're not talking about just the face. We're talking about the whole features, the whole
package. That's an interesting point as well.
But as you said, some of us are, you know, born with... We've all got some sense of insecurity, right?
Right, right.
But it affects some of us more than the others.
Yes, correct.
And that's the difference, right?
Yes.
You can live with your insecurities, George. If you've come this far in life, I'm assuming you're okay.
Well...
As far as I know.
Okay. No, I'm saving up money in order to repair that insecurity. Well, actually, the insecurity... the defects just get increasingly longer list as you grow older by the day. So actually, I don't see anything wrong with Joan Rivers. I think she's actually quite good looking at that age.
Yeah, but she's done a lot of work though. Yeah. George was asking earlier about men.
About men. In your practice, are there more Malaysian men?
In our practice, I think about 30% of our customers are
male. I'm surprised.
And it is an increasing trend, because you see the products that sell outside, even like the male products, actually you see them over the counter, it's a popular stuff. Everybody wants to look good. Everyone will be good.
Like presumably it's reasonable and makes sense to target the men because, you know, I guess they have more disposable income.
That is presumptuous.
Well,
who says that?
Okay, now we're getting into this. This is getting exciting.
Well, who said that?
Statistically, one would have disposable income in men, right?
If we had better access to
the disposable incomes.
Better access, exactly. Right.
Okay, that's a good point.
Let's not get into the whole glass ceiling.
But I guess wanting to look good or wanting to look beautiful, it's not just limited to...
It shouldn't be limited to a certain gender.
Yes.
And everybody wants to look good. And I think there are different ways to do it. And being able to have a choice, to be able to understand what are the choices, is actually crucial. And of course, we are not suggesting doing all sorts of stuff. And lots of times, it's about preserving the what you have. A lot of people think that when you want to go for certain aesthetic procedures, it's all about cutting the face up, doing surgeries. It's not. Nowadays, there's lots of procedures that's non-invasive. You can just touch up a little bit to make it nicer. And a lot of times, it's also preserving, like certain lasers help to clean up the skin, tone up the skin. You just look nice. You don't have to change the whole face, make your eyes bigger or your nose higher or lips bigger. You just have to just a little touch up. And we know Malaysians, we have lots of skin issues. Pigmentations, acnes are our common issues. And you just clean up the face a little bit. You feel good about your skin. And that makes you, can walk out with confidence.
Simple as that. And you need somebody reliable to give you that information.
Right.
So that you don't have to think about surgery.
It's more informed consent, correct, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Just very quickly, Mr. Urologist.
Okay, Mr. Urologist.
Botox
okay, right.
And your area.
My area, okay, right. Okay. Well, in our
you
area.
You have 2 minutes.
No, I have 2 minutes, right. Okay, 2 minutes? I was expecting 30 seconds, right.
Really?
Okay. Well, actually, in my area, it is the use in Botox in, and there's a huge breakthrough recently that Botox in urology is used for overactive bladder or neurogenic bladder. Remember, we have, a lady who came to, our show, Jody, who had the car accident with spinal cord injury. And the group of patients who benefited from that to reduce the contractility and reduce the kidney damage is phenomenal. And it's changing the landscape of urology. Actually, I want to kind of sum up in a few things, right? Okay. When you look at Botox in the history of how Botox is identified, a lot of... rectification of many, many conditions had been listed. I can tell you some of them. Torticollis is like contracture of the neck,
right.
Blinking of the eyes, sweating, squinting, achalasia, migraine, and then also excessive teeth crunching.
Right.
None of these are actually life-threatening. They are majority of them lifestyle. In a way, one aspect of Botox that actually has been highlighted, it's about beauty. So that actually highlighted all the issues about an ethical acceptance of a society when you look at beauty and how much are you allowed to go and cross that line. And who draws a line is an interesting concept. Today, I learned a lot. I hear many, many things, when I came on the show. I probably felt that, children need to be protected and so on and so forth. But one thing that actually changed my perception is what Dr. Lim said, that majority of these kids actually probably had stunted emotional growth anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably stemmed from upbringing, family environment,
there
and so on
again,
and so forth.
Blame your parents.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, that needs to be rectified. And the other thing that I think, with that SMS coming in about vitamin C, I really think that if the society continue to draw barriers to say not allowed, and we're going nowhere, and then we're going underground. So therefore, we might as well have, qualified physicians with the scrutiny of scientific research and actually accepting maybe it's not vanity, maybe it's rectifying justifiable rectifications of that imperfection.
Fantastic. Dr. Lim, you want to leave us with a message?
Right. So Botox itself, like what Dr. George has been bringing up, it's been used in higher doses in other diseases. So we used to do it with cerebral palsy kids with muscle spasms.
That's
and
right.
Stuff. So the dose that we use are so much more higher than the one we've used for cosmetic purposes. And basically, there's a lot of taboo about Botox. But Botox itself, if it's used correctly, it can help to soften certain lines. But of course, when we talk about aesthetic medicine, it's not just Botox. Nowadays, we also use things like PRP, regenerative medicine, to help in such a way. And I'd like to emphasize again, in lots of times, you don't shut people out because they want to do something that think is vanity. But basically, we have to understand, why do they do that? Is there other ways that we can help? Or things that if it goes overboard, maybe we need some help from psychologists and things. But most of the time, just simple things that they just feel insecure, maybe mm-hmm. we can give them some so-called encouragement.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me today. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist, and Dr. Lim Ting Song, an aesthetic physician, on aesthetic medicine on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.